So I am actually not worried about the intelligence levels of AI. It's really about how do you manage it, and those type of capabilities is really more about the framework and scaffolding around the AI than it is about the models underneath. So I think we will be getting there very soon. Now, that the problem that I am very concerned about is what happens when that becomes available to everyone, and how does that affect the workforce? How does it affect the stability of our economy? How does that affect the geopolitical tensions when you have massive, job displacements?
Welcome to the Big Bang Tech Report, the podcast for everyone who doesn't just want to hear what technology can do, but who wants to understand what technology does. As always, I'm speaking with my co-host, Alvin Van Graelen, a prominent thinker, a very prominent thinker and author on AI, whose voice is heard around the world. Hello, Alvin.
Hello, good to see you again.
Good to see you too. Imagine millions of new actors are currently migrating into our country. Invisible, no visas, no borders, at the speed of light. A nightmare for Mr. Trump. They speak our language perfectly. They write better than we do. They understand contracts, laws, arguments. They simulate emotions. They make decisions. That is exactly what is happening right now. Not with people, but with AI agents. The central question is, are we ready for an invasion of AI immigrants? Origin of this idea is an idea of Mr. Harari. This imagine comes exactly from this historian and author of Sapiens and Homo Deus, Yuval Harari. His thesis: humans did not conquer the world because they were stronger, but because language allowed them to cooperate with millions of strangers. And now, for the first time, something is emerging that masters language better than we do. Language as a human superpower. Alvin, if language was our true superpower, are we now losing that superpower to AI?
Yeah, so and I understand why you're asking this, because remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about ClaudeBot, which now is called Open Claude. And that's been the hot topic around the AI sphere, because essentially millions of people around the world right now are running their own personal agents that are starting to do work for you, not just become a chatbot that talks back and forth. And even these chatbots or these agents are now having their own social networks, where they're communicating with each other. And so there's this perception that, okay, there are now these sentient beings that are self-operating, because the structure of the open clause system allows it to have automatic time, and it keeps operating even without humans prompting it. So we've anthropomorphized this technology into something that feels like a human or an immigrant. And it's creating this fear, and it feeds on what Harari has talked about. And then I'm a big fan of Harari and of his books. I think his first two books are very spot on, but the last one, I'm not sure if I completely agree with that perspective of saying that these AI systems are today, maybe at some point in the future, but they are not today technology that are self-reliant and self, they don't have self-agency, and they don't have their self-intent. And so in which case right now, really, they are still working on behalf of humans based on tasks that these humans are giving them. So they are still a tool. At some point, they may become more sentient, as what might be portrayed in his Nexus book. But it is not there today, and it probably won't be there for some time. So I think the fear that we are seeing might be a little bit overplayed.
But right now, if we switch on the laptop, if we work on Excel or something like that, we work with Word, we have to do the work. And but now we have no longer these tools. Well, we have them, but AI becomes an actor. It does the work by itself, and it has its own decisions. So it's different. People do not understand it.
Yeah. So yes and no, right? In the sense of it does things right now still based on what we tell it. Because I've been running this for a while, essentially since the last time we talked. And I have a lot of direct experience working with it. And it's still based on the requests of the users. So the user will say, hey, go search the news around the world for me and find things that I would be care about, or do an analysis on this paper and blah, blah, blah. And it would go on and do those things. Now, it may do it in the sense of it doesn't need you to interact with it on every single decision or obstacle it runs into, because it can still solve its own problems. But at the end of the day, the objective that's given is not something that it gave itself. It's something that you gave it, and then it tries its best to help you solve those issues, right? And sometimes it'll come back and ask you, did you mean this? Do you want something else? Is this okay for you? And which actually gives you the perception that there is a person or a being, an intelligent being that is a self-motivated being in the past, in behind the screen, which is the intent of these agent frameworks. But it does not necessarily the perception of a autonomous agent does not mean that there is actually a mind or an entity behind there. So I think those things, we have to separate the ideas.
Years ago, we thought, well, 1 year and then in 10, 20 years, it will pass the Turing test. The Turing test means that we do not know if we are communicate with a machine or with a person. And I think the person should have been 13 or 14 years old, that you say the machine has the ability of a 14-year-old person. Do you know when we have passed the Turing test?
Oh, no, I think we passed the Turing test several years ago.
Right. Yeah, nobody realized it. And so the systems get smarter and smarter. And I think the Olympic Games of Mathematics were won by AI. So I think there is a development that the systems become smarter and smarter and pass the human intelligence. And if it is like that, if you put it in the financial system, we have new instruments or new tools in the financial system created by AI that nobody does understand anymore. And the same problem we have had years ago with the financial crisis, that we have had products that nobody could understand anymore, created by person. And in the future, what does it mean for the future, AI and financial system?
Yeah. If you look at the stock market today, actually algorithmic trading composes probably 70-80% of trades right now. So retail and you know, human trading is actually a minority of trading today, right? So that's been the case for more than a decade. So it's you know, humans cannot make decisions and process data at the speed of computers. But I think we need to separate the idea of capability and intelligence with agency and consciousness, right? And I think that's probably where we separate. I'm a big believer on the amazing capabilities of technology for it to do great things with the information that it has, for it to process information, to gather information, to be able to come to new insights. But that doesn't mean that right now it has its own will to do that. I think that's where the difference is. When you start talking about, this is using the image of an immigrant, that's a human that comes to a country that has to survive, that needs resources, that has its own will, that has family, and has its aspirations. I don't think any of those later descriptions match the technology that we have. In terms of its capability, absolutely. And they're not, you know, usually when you think of immigrants, you think of less educated, they're mostly doing manual labor. In this case, we actually have very well-educated AIs that have, you know, are probably more learned than most humans, or maybe all humans. So these are using the little bit of a fear-mongering of what is portrayed in some of Harari's discussions and talks and book. it brings attention. And I think he's done a very good job in terms of bringing attention to this topic. But right now it's a little bit overly fear driven, where I think that right now this technology has the potential to do amazing things if we properly manage it. And the fear should be on the other side. The fear should be on the people controlling these agents today, not and what their intent is, not on the agents themselves, not on the AI itself having its own ideas and aspirations.
Okay. Do you have already your own Alvin agent?
I do. I've been running a cloud bot for a while, and it's very helpful. I have to say it's an amazing thing. It's also very insecure if you don't manage it well. So I spend a lot of time locking it down, and I actually make sure that it does not go out and interact with other agents, because the problem is the social network for these agents right now is a security nightmare, because once you go on, then these other agents try to steal passwords from your agents, and they're talking to it, trying to trick it into releasing information. So the key today to making sure these agents are useful is to keep them locked down to only interacting with you directly. They may interact with the internet to find information. They may interact with maybe services that you give it access to. But they should not be interacting with other agents talking to each other, because then it creates a major security hole.
So what do you do with your agent or today or tomorrow? Where does this agent support you?
It essentially helps me manage my day a little bit right now, and helps me do research. It helps me clear my calendar, helps me check my email for the useful things that I need to focus on. It essentially goes out and becomes my assistant. And that's what it should be, an assistant that helps make my life more efficient. But it's not trying to replace me. And it is not something that has its own ideas of how I should be. It is not controlling me, right? Which is what some people are afraid of. So you have to take the right perspective of how to use these tools.
In the last month and years, especially in the stock markets, that was magic. Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, and so on, this big seven, they were really doing a very good job. And the last 2 weeks, they were losing market value, a lot of market value. And somebody or a company like Walmart was catching up, because they have done a lot of work on AI in their systems, and so they're getting more profitability. What is going on right now in the market? How do you see the future?
Yeah, I think right now there's a bit of a correction, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, in the sense of there's a lot of spending CapEx from the major AI companies, and right now it's unclear if there's revenues that is associated with it. At least the growth of revenue is not keeping up with the pace of the growth of spend. Right. And so the market is starting to understand that. And in some ways, there's correction on the AI related stocks. The other issue that's happening is that software related stocks, things that are SaaS related, or Adobe and various Oracle, whatever, all of these companies that are used to sell software and services to enterprise, what people are realizing is now with a command, a prompt, you could duplicate some of these capabilities, and everybody can make their own software instead of buying software from a major vendor, which is why there was a lot of correction, but at least a reduction in value over the last week or two. And so I think that actually does make sense, because looking at the capabilities of what these AI tools can do now, they can technically actually create million line code if you have enough AI budget to make it personalized and customized to you as an organization. And that means I don't need to pay millions of dollars to a Salesforce or a Oracle when I can ask and say, make something that looks like Salesforce, but make it customized to my company and make it much smaller so it can run on my own server. Right. And I think that's actually very doable today, especially if you give it an example of what you already have.
Yeah. So you see that there will be a lot of turbulences on the stock market, especially with AI, when AI can disrupt business models.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there will be significant disruption to those type of business models, as well as very soon we'll find companies that are like accounting firms, the PwCs and Accentures of the world, the McKinseys and the Goldmans of the world will actually start to significantly have their margins deteriorated by AI. So we're going to actually have, a lot of people think that AI is going to create a lot of new value. I think before it creates new value, it actually will destroy a lot of existing value in the sense of perceived value of existing vendors, mm-hmm. because it commoditizes their services.
Yeah. So we have February. Which question around AI occupies your mind the most right now?
My biggest issue right now is actually how do we transition? How do, a lot of people are focused on how do we get to AGI? I actually think that we are very much on track actually to get to AGI very soon, but not the AGI that people in Silicon Valley think. My thinking of how we actually get to AGI, and AGI defined as the ability to do the work of a white-collar average worker, which is what a lot of people in Silicon Valley talk about. Their approach is to say, hey, I'm going to create a God model, a model that knows everything, and you just give it that one model, and the model does everything by itself. The more I look at it, the more it's clear that we don't need a God model. That even if you take today's AI model, you put the right scaffolding around it, you create these agent systems, and you give it access to all the tools that the humans used to use, it will soon be able to replace the majority of work of those workers without having, massive increase in intelligence. The intelligent capability of the systems that we have today are already at the 99th percentile of almost every intelligent metrics and every benchmark, right? And maybe higher, right? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned about the Math Olympics, gold medals are being awarded to these AI models, right? Very few humans, except, the people who are trained every day on this can even get anywhere close to that, right? So I am actually not worried about intelligence levels of AI. It's really about how do you manage it? How do you create a long-term task that it can keep running on? And those type of capabilities is really more about the framework and scaffolding around the AI than it is about the models underneath of AI. So mm-hmm. I think we will be getting there very soon. Now, the problem that I am very concerned about is what happens when that becomes available to everyone? And how does that affect the workforce? How does it affect the stability of our economy? How does that affect the geopolitical tensions when you have massive, job displacements? That transition is something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of years, and I don't think our governments are prepared, and I don't think the companies who are managing and will soon be applying these are prepared, and that's what I'm worried about.
When do you see the situation? Which year? Next year? 10 years? 5 years?
Oh, no, I think within the next 2 years, you can see that it's already very close with these type of like Claudebot or OpenClaw type systems. Once that becomes something that is not an open source, security nightmare, once it's being managed by a few resourced companies who will take away all the security issues, it will be very, very tempting for everyone to start using them. And once everybody starts using them, they will find that they no longer need the majority of the white collar workers that they had. And now the question is, do I fire these people? Do I give them new jobs? Do I transfer them? Do I retrain them? And unless there is some level of regulation to slow down that decision making in terms of laying off, in Europe, it's better because Europe, there's a lot of more protection for the workforce. In places like America, there's no protection. It's at will employment for the entire country. And, there's 170 million workers in America, and 70% of them are white collar workers. And they are all at risk when this technology gets to the level of what we're talking about. OpenClaw was made by one person. Right? And that's why there's so many security issues, because he didn't have time to patch everything and to think about safety and security. But if you have a Microsoft or a Google or or whoever start working on these solutions, they will create a enterprise ready and security focused type solution. When those things happen, it will be very capable and also safe at the same time. And that will dramatically change how white collar work is done.
So you see that we will come back to the wild, wild west, more or less, because where you told us that with your agent, you can't let them out because of safety reasons, because of passwords. Then you tell us, okay, if somebody is there and the white collar people, they were fearing their job. So there will be a very insecure world, right?
Well, this is what I'm saying. If we're using today's model made by one person, yes, it's very insecure.
Yeah.
But I don't see large enterprise companies releasing software until they've well tested it. That's why I say it would take about a year, maybe 2 years. But when they do release it, it will be ready because they're used to working in that corporate environment, a regulated environment, and there is liability for the software vendors if there is damage related to the software solution they provide. So this is why they actually haven't released it. To be honest, this is the type of scaffolding around OpenClaw is not new. It's something that's been around, but no company would be willing to put something like that out because there's so much corporate liability and reputational liability when you put that out, because if somebody loses all their savings, or if somebody buys something that they didn't want to, or whatever, it creates security risk and it creates privacy risk, which no corporation wants to be liable for. But a human, an individual contributor, somebody like Peter, what's his name? Steinberger. He didn't care. He just wants to show what he's been working on for a few months, and it took off. I don't think he expected it to take off, but it was an open source project from a single developer, right?
Mm. So we need something positive for the end of our show, because otherwise everybody will be depressed. And we want to explain the future, but we need some positive things too.
I actually think this is a very positive thing, because what this shows us is that we are very close to having technology that can liberate us from the daily churn of work.
Mm-hmm.
The key is, how is our institutions, our governments, and the corporations that are driving this, how are they going to react to it, and how are we going to prepare for it? We have 1 or 2 years to do these preparations and to make sure that when that happens, that there's a smooth transition, right? This is why transition is the key. Invention is not the key, because I think we already now have a pathway to getting to this, to AGI, right? Now, it is not the God model. It is not necessarily a self-learning, self-improving model that will eventually become ASI. But it is absolutely capable of doing the work of the average worker, allowing us to then be freed up to spend more time with our families, to spend more time exercising, to spend more time developing ourselves and understanding more of the world without all the daily churn, right? And I think that's actually a very positive message. The key is, once we prepare for it, it will be, and we have a soft landing, it will be an amazing future that this creates. But if we don't prepare for it, and we don't believe it, and we're not protecting the humans that are part of our society, then we will have chaos, and we will have instability, geopolitical and economic instability, and that will not end well. So this is essentially for a message to our regulators and policymakers. This is the time for you to get educated on this topic and start thinking about what you need to do, because you have a very short window of timeline to take action.
So we get rid of nasty work and that the future will be bright, but there will be some challenges too. And we will talk about these challenges in the next episodes of Big Bang, of our Big Bang Tech Report. And I'm really happy to have you here too, that you will explain us the world, the future, and what we can expect from the future and how we can work on it and and to see the opportunities. So yes, please join us for the next episodes, and thank you very much, Erwin Van Graelen, for your interpretation of the current world and the future world. And please give us some notes and write us what you think about our episode, and we will be there in 14 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jens, for moderating this conversation. And I think we are giving a perspective that is very different than what you hear in the daily media. And, for the audience who are listening to us, please share it with your friends, because I think more people need to hear this and start thinking about it and taking action on it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.